Hey, Kareen.
Hi, Cherie.
We got a great show tonight on Angel Coaches, and I'm super excited, and it's a real honor and privilege to have our guest speaker on tonight, Jonathan Morgan. And before we introduce him and bring him on, why don't you share a little bit about his story, because you do it so well. So anyway.
Oh, well, it's best to hear from Jonathan, which we will in a second. I'll just do a quick little introduction here for Jonathan Morgan. He is an incredibly beautiful soul, and he's only 24. And he was diagnosed with cancer while he was in prison. And he was just recently released on February 2nd. So he's only been out for about a month now, and he was released on hospice care. The doctors there, told him that he only has about a month or 3 months left to live. The good news is that he's found a good doctor now that has that believes that there's other options that they can explore, and that they can fight this. So
got other options,
right? Yeah. Right. And we wanted everybody to hear his story, because what has happened, what he had to endure when he was in prison, really was unnecessary and could have been prevented. There was severe negligence on the part of the prison healthcare system, and Jonathan's intention by sharing his story today is to make sure that this does not happen to anybody else, because it really could have been prevented. And he's just he wants to use his life right now to help others. And so we've asked him to come on to our show to share his story with everybody, because we believe that the world needs to hear this, because he is not the only person that this has happened to. It's happened to several others, but Jonathan's story especially is really it's just such a unnecessary situation what he's had to go through. And so we welcome Jonathan Morgan on our show today.
Hi, Jonathan. Jonathan, did we lose you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay, good, good, good. Anyway, we're glad that you're here, and welcome to Angel Coaches, our radio show. And why don't you share with everybody your story? And Kareen and I will ask you questions, but you tell it so well. And so please share with us how you came here today, and the steps that took you, that you started at. Because I know you're in prison, and start there. Share with us what happened so people can understand.
Okay, back when I was 17, I committed a crime, and I was charged under the 1020 life law. I was sentenced to 10 years minimum mandatory. I was sentenced as an adult, but since of my age being young, I was in the youthful offenders section. So I was sent to Indian River, which is a YO camp. Then I was shipped to Brevard. Brevard, I did most of my time. I did like 4 years at Brevard, or 3 years at Brevard. I got my education. I got a vocational trade. Everything was fine and dandy. Then I found out an officer was bringing stuff in, and I got caught up in a mix because I knew the officer was bringing stuff in. I was told to write a statement on the officer, which I really didn't know nothing. And I was beat. I was hit several times by three sergeants in my abdominal area. And from there, I was emergency shipped to DeSoto CI, where I started complaining about my back. I put in several sick calls, declared a medical emergency. Nothing was done. I was just given ibuprofen and some imitation muscle rub. Well, from there, I found out that I was able to go work on a DOT squad because my custody was low, but I had to take care of an open charge that I had. So I went back to Broward County, got the charge lifted, ran concurrent, because I've already been in prison 5 years, and I was reclassified. I never went back to DeSoto, and I went to Moorhaven, which is a private camp. When I got to the private camp, the doctor said, you've been complaining about your back for several months now. Has anything been done? I told him nothing's been done. My back really hurts. So he tells me to drop my pants, and he touches my testicles, and he asked me, has I ever had a sonogram or some type of test? I said, no, sir. So they scheduled me for an outside doctor and did the test. The next day, I went to the doctor, did the test, and turns out it was testicular cancer that was already metastasized to my lungs. So by the time DOC found out, I had already had it metastasized in my lungs. From there, I was told I had to be rushed to the hospital, which the guards didn't want to take me, so they had to call the colonel, the warden, which they approved it. I went to Kendall Memorial Regional, underwent surgery. They removed my testicle, and I started chemotherapy. From there, I started going back from South Florida Reception Center to Kendall, South Florida, back and forth, back and forth. I did about 8 months of that, and then I was transferred to Lake Butler Reception and Medical Center up north, which has a cancer center and radiation center contract with DOC. So it's like a reception center slash hospital for cancer people and people with dialysis. So I started chemo there. I did chemo there about 8 months, and then the doctor recommended a stem cell transplant. Well, the stem cell transplant took a long time to get approved, and when it got approved, I was shipped to Central Florida Reception Center down in Orlando, but to the South Unit, which is a palliative care unit. I started chemo there, going to downtown Orlando, doing chemo, then I did the stem cell transplant. From there, the results of the stem cell transplant didn't do nothing. They used my own stem cells, which I don't, to this day, I don't know why they would use my own stem cells if I already had cancer throughout my body. I would have preferred them to find a donor or maybe one of my brothers or a sibling, but they used my own stem cells, and just because they say that they cleaned it, it doesn't matter. You're taking something. I got cancer throughout my body. Basically, I look at it like I'm dirty. Why don't you get somebody that's clean, that doesn't have nothing? Well, the stem cell didn't do nothing, and it, like, backfired, and it metastasized from my lungs to my brain. So when I found that out, I instantly started radiation at downtown Orlando in the intensive care unit. But I'm an inmate, so nobody's paying for this. So since they got a contract with radiation at Lake Butler, I was shipped back to Lake Butler. I started radiation there on my head. They told me that I can only do 15 sessions. After 15 sessions, that's it. Nothing else can be done. Well, when I got to Lake Butler, I was so messed up on the drugs. I was on morphine, Dilaudid. I was on medicine for my head because my head started throbbing. And they made me sign a DNR paper. This is Lake Butler's Department of Corrections. They made me sign a DNR, which is do not resuscitate. From there, they were just going to ship me to South Florida to the palliative care unit just so I could be closer to my family down here. No treatment, no nothing. So my mom, which I love her very much, she told me to void it. So when she told me what it meant, I voided it. They extended the 15 sessions to 2 more weeks, another 15, because they have to treat me because, you know, I voided the DNR. And by me being an inmate, you have to treat me like I got a medical condition. Well, basically, they did the test. I found out what I had in my head, what I had in my lungs, what I had in my abdominal area. They removed my portacath. They had me a portacath that goes in your chest, and that's where you get your chemo at. And they put a PICC line in, which I was in the hospital getting pain meds, other meds. And the doctor told me that I only had, at first he said he had the right 3 months to live because they were talking about a conditional medical release. So I told them, what do you mean I only got 3 months to live? How can somebody tell you how long you're going to live? You do not know when you're going to die. When it's your time, it's your time. So he put me in the conditional release, which my mom went to the hearing, which I love her again very much. She told her feelings, and it got approved February 2nd. So I'm out of prison now. I got out a little over a month now. When I got out, I was told that DOC had everything set up. Here's your medical file, everything. Well, I'm in the car driving home, and the medical file is only like a portion of it. There's nothing even in it. There's no test about the stem cell transplant. There's no test about when they removed my testicle. I mean, there's recent activity, but my whole medical file is not there. So that's one. Another thing they told me, they had everything set up with the doctors and everything. Well, when I get out, the doctor they had me set up to was up there at Lake Butler in Lake City. Now, you knew that I was living down here in Broward. Why would you set me up with somebody way up there, 8 hours away? So I went, I admitted myself straight in the hospital because my head started throbbing really bad. I brought my medical file, which I had some recent activity, and I showed them, and they had me set up. Well, I don't have no insurance. I just got out of prison. I filed for Medicaid, well, I filed for moped. I filed for Medicaid and all that. But I filed for Moped. Moped is, which is like a nonprofit organization that pays for your treatment if they know you're going to get Medicaid. Well, we applied, showed the medical files and all that. Moped denied me because I haven't been a resident in Broward County for 30 days when I lived in Florida my whole life. And with my medical file showing you what I have and what I've done, everything should have been expedited, like ASAP. It's been over a month, and I just had my first session of chemo yesterday. And then today, they put a port back in my chest because when I got released from prison, they removed every line in my body. And the doctors out here, my doctor out here is telling me, why would they remove your port when they knew you had more treatment to do? So I did PET scans, CAT scans at the hospital out here at Broward General, and the radiation doctor basically told me that he recommends that I start chemo right now and lay off the radiation. So I'm asking him why. Why? I mean, I'm more worried about my head than my lungs. Because if it gets too deep in your head, the radiation can't get to it. And there's nothing they can do. And a tumor's just going to keep growing. And that's when you become terminal. And I'm telling the doctor, like, I'd rather you do my head, you know, the lungs. We could do the lungs, but I'm worried about my brain. Well, he told me that DOC was basically frying my brain. I did 11 sessions out of those 15 that I was told I only can do because they conditionally released me. And he told me that right now, that's why you have very bad memory. I went blind like maybe 2.5 months ago at the South Unit, and that's when I started complaining to the nurses. It was Christmas. It was around Christmas time, and they told me that, oh, it's Christmas, and you got a doctor's appointment Monday anyways. So I went the whole weekend laying in my bed because my vision was so blurry, I didn't want to walk. Well, that's when they had found out that it metastasized to my brain. And since I started the radiation at Lake Butler, my vision's back. I can see, but it's just I got to wear glasses. And if I'm looking at the computer or a book, I got to wear glasses to where it makes the font real big because I can't really be squinting my eyes because my eyes start to hurt. But I finally started treatment yesterday. Today I got the port put in. I go back on the 14th for chemo, and then I go back on the 15th for a Neupogen shot, which is a shot that builds up your immune system to where you don't get all sick and you can catch infections real easily. But the medical system in prison is ridiculous. I mean, you put a sick call in, they charge you $5 every sick call you put in. $5 they deduct from your account if you got money. If you don't have money, they put a lien on your account to where when you do get money, it's automatically deducted. With that $5, you go to medical, the nurses tell you there's nothing wrong with you. Here's some imitation ibuprofen. That's it.
$5. Jonathan, can I ask you a question? Because you got a great story there. You said that you battled with the cancer you suffered with severe back pain for 8 or 9 months, right, before anything was done about it. Okay, your mom also said that you, back in 2008 and 2009, you were complaining about it, and she was sending letters on your behalf to get somebody to look at it.
My mom got letters from, she's even got a letter from the White House.
Yeah, I know she did. When was the first time you saw your doctor, the first doctor? Do you remember?
It was like 2010.
Okay.
It was a doctor at a private camp.
Right. It was the private prison that you were sent to after South Florida Reception. Here's what we want everyone to know is that 2 years Jonathan was suffering with this back pain and repeatedly asked the medical staff at DeSoto Correctional Institute for an evaluation. He was ignored. And all he was given each time was just Advil and a muscle ointment. And his mother sent in numerous requests to the warden to have her son receive proper medical attention, and they completely ignored it. And then, when Jonathan was talking about earlier, what he actually witnessed was a drug deal going down inside one of the prisons. And when they questioned him, he would not reveal their identities. And so they handcuffed him to a pole and they beat him. And, which resulted in further injuries to his back. And he was already having the back pain. And so this just made it worse. So he put in a request for medical treatment the next day. And what they did was they just had him transferred to another facility without even treating him. They just freaked out, didn't want to be caught, really, and then just transferred him out. And then that facility, South Florida Reception, transferred him to the private prison. And at the private prison, I mean, you receive such different medical care at a private prison than you do, you know.
Everything is, it's not even Department of Corrections. It's
right.
Totally different. You get a whole different ID card. The canteen's different. There's more vocational, educational things because it's for young people.
Jonathan, I want to ask you a question, and this is really, really important. What do you want people to know in a couple sentences or less? Why are you here telling your story? Because before we go any further, I think everyone would like to know that. Why do you want people to hear your story?
Because if you screw up and you make a bad decision and you end up in prison, you better have somebody on your side. Somebody you can call, somebody you can write, somebody you can talk to, because if you have a medical condition or something goes wrong, if you have nobody helping you, they do not care about you. They're not there. I mean, they're there to do their 8 hours and go home.
Wow.
They will, if you press the button and you want your medicine, they come when they want.
Okay.
It's a totally different world from in there and out here. And I just want people to know that, I mean, you make amends if you don't have nobody, but if you're going down that bad path, and you're screwing up, and you get caught, and you go to prison, you better have somebody to write and talk to, because if you don't, you're not going to get treated. They don't care about you. You got to have somebody that's on the streets that is going to be calling for you, calling this, calling that, which my mother did for me. And my mother is what got me out. And how I look at it, like, they told my mom that they done went above and beyond paying for my treatment and that they didn't want to pay no more. So that's why they put that medical conditional release in and put that timeline on my life. And I just don't think that's right, you know. There's other people in there with the same issue as mine, and they don't care.
Right.
They take their time, and it's a different world. Since I've been I'm still shocked that I'm out. I mean, I'm not a free man. I'm on probation. I'm on parole, basically. And, I mean, my conditions are good, but there's bad stuff in there. Like they said, in a year and a half, if I get cured or whatever, they basically say I got to go back to prison for my remainder of my sentence. I look at it as, you're the one that's got me in this situation. If you would have took me seriously and did the test when I first complained about it, it probably would have been removal of my testicle and just a little bit of chemo. It never would have metastasized to my lungs. But there's so many people in the prison system right now that falsely claim medical emergencies just to go up there and look at the nurses, just to go up there and try to talk a little sweet talk and for nothing. And I was only 21, so what did they look at me walking in there telling them my back hurts? I got to take my shirt off, you know? They didn't take me seriously. It's just a different world, man.
Well, we're taking you seriously now. You've got you. You're telling your story, and you're here. And they said you had terminal cancer, and you say you're going to die when you're ready. Okay, and the doctors have given you hope, which I'm so pleased about. But you're here to create. You're an advocate to create change. So this does not happen to someone else, right?
Yeah.
I think. Okay. Now, one of the things I want to ask you is, I know that you've had some things with the medical, you know, like you didn't get diagnosed. It took over 2 years for you to get in front of a doctor. You know, you were there in 2010. That's the first time you saw a doctor. And you started with back pain in 2008. But that's not the only things that are horrible in the prison system. I know that the food, I believe that when you told Corinne and I that some of the food that they give you guys in there is not, it's labeled not made for human consumption. Is that right?
Yeah, they had this ground beef meat that basically looks like Hamburger Helper, but it really don't look like Hamburger Helper. And it's light gray, and I've gotten close. I mean, prison's prison, but, you know, you can meet some really good people in prison if they're really trying to change their life. And I met some people in there that work food service, and they tell me that it says on the box, not for human consumption, and they're cooking it just because they get a discount on if they buy a bunch of it.
Wow.
I mean, the food, the trays are always dirty. There's roaches, there's rats. It's very nasty. If you go to chow, you only get about 7 minutes to eat, if that. And if you have food in your locker, a soup or whatever, you will rather eat. You're going to get more fuller off that little 50-cent soup than you are going to chow, going to lunch.
I have a question to ask you, because I know people are going to be wondering this, all right? People are going to be saying, and I want to be super honest right now, because I, Corinne and I, Angel Coaches, we want to help you. But being super honest with you, and some of the people that you've met in prison are nice, and some of them aren't, okay? And people are saying, well, why should we help people in prison? What would be your response to that, okay? Because you've been on both sides, and you know how to answer that question, I'm going to bet you.
People, I mean, I was arrested. I was 18, the day of my 18th birthday. I'm legal or an adult, but it's the day of my 18th birthday. I'm still a juvenile. I didn't know that the crime that I did carried 10 years. And, I mean, 10 years for a gun that was never even in my possession. It's just the person that I was with had the gun. And by me being with him, I was sentenced under the 10-20 life. Now, by helping people out in prison, nobody is perfect. People make mistakes. When I was 17, I was doing drugs. I dropped out of school, wasn't working. I was a very bad person. I hurt a lot of people. And some people have to go that route to change their life. Like, there's this song that I like. It's by T.I. He's a rapper. It's called Still I Stand. And it says in there that sometimes God will take you through hell just to get you to heaven. And there's people that need to go down that route to change their life. Or another thing is, there's kids out here nowadays. I mean, I'm still a baby, but my grandma says it's kids having kids. Now, a lot of their parents don't approve of it, but by them having that kid, I guarantee that it changed her life. I bet she's not doing what she used to be doing. She's taking care of her kid. She got a head on her shoulders now. She's enrolling in college. She's got two jobs. You know, some people, they need to have that to change their lives. Now, in prison, prison is prison. Nothing positive happens in prison. You don't hear no positive news. If you hear any news, it's all negative. And there's people in there that are catching 30, 40 years for getting caught with a bunch of pills when you got these other people that are in there for sex charges only getting 8 years, 9 years, 10 years with game time. I mean, you give this kid 30 years for getting caught with like 20-something pills, which he's an addict. He's not selling the pills. He's a drug addict. They're his. But this guy's messing with little kids and little boys. You give him 8 years. I mean,
so you let me ask you. I know, Jonathan, and that's terrible. So you're saying, and I want to be really clear with this. You're saying that the prison needs to have a better system, you know, for how they how they give convicts or inmates prison time, right?
Yeah, and then I mean, right now, they done shut down at least 10 to 12 prisons in Florida. Now, you're shutting down the prisons. Where are all these inmates going? The prison system is so overcrowded right now that it's like DOC is, like, going broke. They don't give good uniforms out no more. If you wear, like, a size 7, you're going to get a size 12 shoe. They give you what they got, and they really don't have a lot. And,
okay,
I
don't mean to interrupt you again, but so they're given that you don't have correct clothes, you don't have proper nutrition, you don't have great, obviously, health care, and it seems super lopsided on who gets what time. You know,
you'll
some
be
people
lucky
are saying
if you get a toothbrush and toothpaste.
Okay, I got you. I understand that. So let me ask you another question. In your opinion, you think the system needs to be changed. And how did you... Okay, good. Now, let me ask you another question because I agree with you. I did a little bit of research today. 97% of men that are in prison right now will be back on the streets, okay? So if we don't help them build their self-esteem, take care of them physically, give them proper nutrition, proper food, help them
I don't know. The prison system is crazy, man. I've been out over a month, and it's like I'm still shocked. I don't even want to leave the house because I feel like now my probation officer says I can do this and I can do that, but I feel like I don't talk to you on the phone and you verify it with me on the phone, it's like I'm scared to leave because I don't want... Oh, where'd you go? Oh, well, I told you I was going to the mall to go shopping. Oh, you didn't call me. I'm not trying to violate for something. I can't go back because I feel if I go back, they ain't going to do nothing.
Well, you know, what? We got I think your mom's on the phone with us. Are you, Renee?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this
hey,
is Mom.
And
hey, honey.
You've been hiding on me.
She's battling for her son, and Renee, he's telling us what's going on in the prison system, which is just horrible, and share with us a little bit about how you got started, what your hope is, and how you want to. I know that you had a friend in prison that died with the same kind of situation that Jonathan
did,
right?
That's correct.
Okay.
I had a friend who was asking for medical treatment for a while who was denied, and sent a letter out to me asking for help. I went to visit him and saw how bad he was. Went to the warden. The next day they went to transfer him up to Lake Butler where the hospital is for the prison, and he passed away on the way.
Wow.
But my son, like I emailed the warden, my son is a different situation. Back in May, I started saving the letters back in May 2010 for emergency medical treatment. My son had been complaining to me for months that he's asking for help medically with nothing but back rub and aspirin given to him. I emailed the DeSoto warden requesting emergency medical treatment. I explained how he was beat up by the guards. Then he was transferred with no response from DeSoto Correctional Facility.
Right.
When he was transferred, I then had to start over again, getting transferred to 101 people to try and explain that my son needs emergency medical treatment. There is something wrong, that Aspen and back rub is not working. We need an MRI. Well, probably 8 months went down the line with me continually sending emails to 100 different people, including the governor, the senator, the White House, claiming that medical treatment is needed for my son.
Bill of Quarter.
To which, no luck. So he was transferred to a private prison, which then decided to listen to him and take his complaint serious. They rushed him to a doctor, which that doctor found out what was wrong with him. He had testicle cancer that had spread to his liver, to his lungs, to his brain, and it's working back down the abdomen. Now, in May 2010, when I started saving the letters, the warden should have done something at that time, but instead of taking him to the doctors, they shipped him to another place, which that took longer. By the time my son was taken serious, the cancer had spread throughout his whole body.
Wow.
Now, I can tell you that we want to help other prisoners get the proper medical treatment that is needed when they are in pain, or if something is wrong, they need to have medical attention. I cannot blame the prison for giving my son cancer, but I do blame them for the lack of medical attention and the neglect that was given out to my son and to every other person who is in there who's claiming, you know, something is seriously wrong. My son was telling me, Mom, that he has his next-door neighbor or whatever has cirrhosis of the liver. He was sent to Lake Butler for treatment, and still to this day probably hasn't even gotten one single test. And
he's on the waiting list.
Was there a lot longer than my son.
That is
he's
amazing.
On the waiting list. He's been at the South Unit 3 years waiting. And it's so bad right now that if he were to get on interferon, which is for his type of situation, it'll probably kill him right now.
Yeah, you know, I don't blame the jail system for my son getting cancer, but I do blame them for not treating him in the proper time to where the testicle cancer would not have spread. Testicle cancer is pretty easy to cure if caught on time, and if they would have just listened when my son started complaining, then it would have been caught, and his life, you know, he would not be given 4 weeks to 3 months to live.
Right.
Renee, let me ask you another question. And I know you said that when he had the stem cell, I guess it's bone marrow stem cell transplant, that the hospital in the prison hospital didn't even realize what was going on. It came to you first, and you had to make sure that they got the medical records in. Share that story, do you mind?
I went to the head board of directors of the prison medical, department, and he was the one who sent me a copy of the letter, and I, in return, had to send it to everybody else. Now, that's absurd, if you ask me. Another facility did was they picked up my son from Orlando Hospital, took him to Lake Butler in the middle of the night with no medical file, The people didn't know why he was sitting in the hallway in the hospital, in the, you know, jail system. Just by chance, a nurse knew my son from prior visit there, and she, in return, helped him and found out what was going on. But how can the prison system just pick my son up from a regional hospital and take him back to prison and just leave him in the hallway with no medical file or nothing? That, again, is absurd. So, you know, the prison system is responsible for my son's neglect. Medically, they're responsible for how it spread. And if he was to pass away, I don't know what I would do. I would want to sue every institution that he was at, because they, each and every one of them, neglected him until it was almost too late. Thank God for the private prison that he went to, because if he didn't go there, he would not probably have treatment at all.
That is
amazing. Now, there was something else that Jonathan alluded to it, but the stem cell in the bone marrow that the doctor had recommended, there was other doctors and medical people that said he shouldn't have had that.
That's right. The nurse recommended that he does not have it, but the doctor, I guess the head of the medical prison system, went ahead and approved it. I'm guessing because he thought it was what was best. And really, I had no idea what was best for my son. All I know is I was going crazy since 2008, 2009, getting him health care. I do know that the nurse did not recommend it. The doctor did. It was done, and it backfired. And through my further research, cancer from the lung usually likes to go to the brain. So, you know, they could have been prepared for that, but they said through one test that nothing showed in his brain, and 2 weeks later it showed up in his brain. And during that 2 weeks, his whole one side of his body went numb. He went blind. And, you know, they made him even wait a couple days before they even sent him to the doctor because he had an appointment anyway.
Right. So, didn't he have a seizure there, too? You said they didn't do anything until he had a seizure.
Several times I was beside myself at the fact that he was in general population when he should be, you know, isolated, because he had just had the stem cell transplant and he's supposed to wear a mask and be very protective because of his immune system. Mm-hmm. All I know is that, you know, I'm here as an advocate for my son. My son needs help. Other people in prison who are medically sick need help. And I know funding, I can't tell you what's going on in the prison system, but I can tell you that they don't care about the people. I can tell you that my son told me they're giving out food that is not consumed, not to be consumed by humans.
Yep.
You know, I just hear all kinds of stories from my son that, you know, I don't have a problem talking to the SOTA warden and telling that warden which deputy sold the drugs to the inmate and which sergeants beat the crap out of my son, okay? And for them to continually neglect him medically when he's putting in sick calls every week, you know, I'm just beside myself about the whole situation.
When you were talking to Corrine and I a couple days ago, you told us, or yesterday, that his feet turned black, They were, yes. Your toes turned black, and they thought it was something else, or they ignored it. What was the story there?
Yes, they keep blaming everything on the chemo reaction. It's a side effect from the chemo. This is what they're telling us about everything. His blurry vision, him twitching, the one side of his body going numb, his blindness, that's all because of the chemo, when really it wasn't because of the chemo. It was because the cancer was spreading. The cancer spread to his brain, and made him not being able to see.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. I asked Jonathan this too as well. I know that you're here as an advocate for your son, and you're a tough, tough mom there. And he said that you need that on the outside if you're on the inside because no one listens. What is it? Bottom line it for us right now. What do you want? What is it? What do you want people to know on this phone call? What do you want to What do you want the listening?
I would like to know other people probably. Other family members who have loved ones incarcerated that are not getting medically treated, we really need to bring this out in the open. Because just because they're an inmate and they did wrong things doesn't make them a bad person. They just made bad choices. Now, just because they made bad choices and are serving their time for the bad choices doesn't mean they need to be medically neglected. My son, I would like to see a class action suit against the Department of Corrections in the state of Florida under medical negligence, because my son is not the only person. I have a longtime friend, Carlton White, who passed away because of medical neglect in the prison system. There's other people, that I know that I've met in prison. Their family is fighting for them for medical treatment as well. I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there that think, oh, they're prisoners, they did their time, they should be, you know, where they're at. But still, all in all, it does not mean that they should be medically neglected. It should not mean that the deputies have and can do whatever they want to the inmates. And it should not be right that the warden makes the decision in the whole prison. For example, my one son, I had to get special approved to go see Jonathan. Now, the judge approved this visit, okay? We went up there with the signed order that says my one son can see the other one, and the warden denied my son to go in to see his other brother. And they hadn't seen each other in 8 years. And once he was given the 4 weeks to 3 months to live is when I went to the judge and asked permission for my other son to go see him. And the judge said yes, but the warden said no. Now, how can a warden override? How can a warden
what was
override
the warden,
what
was
the
warden?
Judge
said? Let me ask you a question. Did the warden, what was the reason for the warden? He just said he didn't feel like it, or what was his reason?
No, I was not given a reason. I was just told denied.
Oh, my goodness.
And one hand does not know what the other hand is doing in prison. I actually had to be the person to draw a straight line for the people in the prison to get my son situated with health care. One prison did not know what the other prison was doing. The prison within its prison didn't know what it was doing. And, you know, I talked to a social worker, I talked to his nurse, each of them are telling me two different things. One doesn't know another thing. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. And I am hoping that, I'm hoping a lawyer will help us. Because, you know, like my son said, he wants some money for pain and suffering, but he wants the money to help other people in prison. He wants to do something with the rest of his life to help other people in prison. He doesn't want other people going through what he went through.
Mm-hmm. He's a fighter. You both are. Let me ask you a question,
And then for the prison to trick my son into signing a do not resuscitate form after we've been fighting for his life for 2 years just blew me away. I instantly went, excuse my language, I went off. And I told my son to void that, which he did, and miraculously, his treatment was extended.
Now are you saying that they get, hold on 1 second, I want to back up. Are you saying that they ask him to sign a DNR, do not resuscitate, just so that they could stop treatment and wouldn't have to pay for it?
Well, what they wanted to do was that the one head medical director told me they have went over and beyond helping my son, that there's no more help for him. They're recommending a conditional medical release because he has less than 3 months to live. We also got a lawyer, and the prosecutor and the judge was willing to let him go, but the supervisor prosecutor denied it, and in return, we had to go try another option to get him out, which was the conditional medical release. But,
okay. You
know, now my son, based upon their records, has less than probably 2 months now. And it's a shame because I've lost so much time, and I don't know how much time I have left. And it's really, the whole family is just devastated. We all know that if it was caught in time, it could have been treated. And something seriously needs to be done.
Let me ask you one question, Renee.
When he was incarcerated, I sent several things out to news stations. I sent a bunch of stuff out to different lawyers, but nobody wanted to help us because he was incarcerated. Well, he's not incarcerated anymore, and we need help to get the word out there that people are dying in prison because of the prison's neglect. Not anything else, but because of the prison's neglect.
So you're telling, if you've got listeners listening in tonight on this radio show, so you, how can they help you? That's what I want to ask you. How can these listeners help you?
Well, first, the more people that step up, and we can gather a group together. Maybe we can get a lawyer to help us. But I do know the first step in helping my son receive compensation for his pain and suffering, we would need a lawyer.
Okay.
I can tell you I witnessed my son going through hell. I've witnessed him one day look 100% healthy to the next day coming out of surgery, coming out of chemo, that looks like a 90-year-old man who's dying. You know, I just don't know. I know that I need help. I know that my son needs help. And we need a lawyer based upon, we can't even get his medical records. They will not give us his full medical file. Now, in order to get that, we need a lawyer, because only the lawyer can help accomplish certain things that we need to accomplish.
So any listeners tonight, that what you're looking for is a lawyer for your son, or if anyone else wants to step up that has the same situation similar to you and Jonathan's, you'd like to do something as a group, as a class action suit. But but you would really like to have Jonathan have an attorney, right?
Yeah.
And he's in Broward County. So I think that's really, really good, cool. What we can do is, I know if somebody wanted to get in touch with Jonathan or send him an email, or is that good?
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
Okay. What we want to do is, if they remember your email address, great, but if they can also, because we have the show locally or regularly every week, Renee, well, if they send an email to us or Jonathan, or then that would be great. And we're setting up, Jonathan, a Facebook page now. Corrine will give the information on that, and it should be ready by tomorrow. But what's your email address, Jonathan?
JonathanMorgan26@yahoo.com.
JonathanMorgan26@yahoo.com. Okay. Mm-hmm. Renee, do you want to use, is that a good email for it to use, or do you want to add yours or anything?
You can add mine. R as in Renee, C as in cat, Allison, Allison, 2004@yahoo.com.
Either way, you got two emails there, and if you guys want to talk to or send any information or find a way to get in contact with these two folks, what you can do is email us at angelcoaches.com or go to our website and send us an email at angelcoaches.com. We'll make sure that we can...
I mean, even the senior trial attorney for President Obama says we have a case. We just need somebody to help us with it.
Wow.
Somebody needs to step up and say, hey, the health care in prison is terrible and needs to be looked at, because my son is a perfect example. And, if nobody's going to step up, I stepped up, and if I have to be the first one to try and file a suit, I will. I'm not afraid to stick up for my child. My child was legitimately neglected. Medically, and they are responsible.
That I see that too as well. Now, I know that Suzanne, a friend of ours, Karina and I, she's in a big media person. She is setting up a Facebook page, and it should be up and running by tomorrow with your pictures on it, guys. What is the name of the Facebook page, Karina? Is that okay if we give that?
Absolutely. So the Facebook page that we set up for Jonathan, you can add this page to your friend list, so you can keep track of Jonathan's progress and contact him and his mother if you have any comments for him or any questions or if you'd like to help. And the address is www.facebook.com/JonathanMorganFightForHisLife. Again, that's Jonathan Morgan, Fight for His Life. And you can see pictures on that website that we're going to post of him and his entire story, as well as we'll put a little link to this recording too as well, so you guys can listen to it. So
I just find it absurd that I had to be the one at each different prison to be their paper pusher in regards to getting my son medical treatment. That is just ridiculous. I knew things before the nurse, which, again, is totally ridiculous. And if it wasn't for me, my son probably would be dead right now in prison.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, you are one tough fighter mom. And I know when I heard your story, because I met you, you know how we met. And when I heard your story, I was like, wow, how can we help you guys? And so hopefully we can get, you know, you'll have a recording. You'll be able to send it out to the media. I know that we just got a story today from you about a young juvenile dying in prison, I believe, from, you know, up in here in Palm Beach area. So it's a problem that's ongoing. And Jonathan told us that
the juvenile was beat up in prison and died hours later because of head injuries and medical neglect.
That's so scary.
And that's in West Palm Beach Post. Anybody in Sun Sentinel, anybody can look it up.
Yeah, thank you. I read this story. I was like, wow. So you guys are planting the seeds of change here.
That juvenile's parent, you know, is going through hard times right now. I know it because my whole family and myself were devastated. We cried for months. We went through pain and suffering. I mean, I don't want anything for pain and suffering because it's my job as a mom to protect my son. And I did the best that I could. And again, just because a person makes poor decisions doesn't mean they're a bad person. And they got their sentence, they did their time, or they're doing their time, and they still should be treated as a human being. And not
you
just
betcha.
Picked aside and fed food that is not for human consumption.
I know, and we've got about one more minute left. Really quickly, Renee, what's the best thing about having your son out of prison?
That people are able to keep pushing him, keep strengthening him to keep going. You know, just love. The family loves him, and if he can't stand, we pray to the Lord, and then with that, we stand up with him.
That's amazing. That great quote, by the way. Thank you. Jonathan, what's the best thing about being out of prison?
That I don't have to go through what I've been going through, and I'm just here with my family.
Tell everybody who got you out of prison, honey.
Yeah.
The Lord did,
didn't
he?
Yep. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that's wonderful. You guys, I saw your pictures today.
My son Jonathan was the last one to accept the Lord. And since he did, positive things have been happening. And I just know that the Lord will use him and raise him up to be a living testimony here on earth to other cancer survivors and other people who are being neglected in prison.
Well, I think you guys have got a great story.
I believe that.
I agree with you on that too as well. We're going to make sure you get a link to this, and we want to help you with Angel Coaches. You guys have been absolutely amazing. Thank you for sharing your story.
I can't thank you enough for taking time and listening to my story and helping my son.
What is the website again? Jonathan Morgan.
Jonathan Morgan. That's your website, Jonathan. Jonathan Morgan, Fight for His Life. Jonathan Morgan, Fight for His Life. We'll email it to you too, Jonathan. So you can see your page.
Yeah, you got some great pictures on there, so you guys are such a beautiful family. Jonathan's got this gentle energy. He sounds just like Buddha. That's what I say.
I know. And he's quite handsome. We've been getting a lot of responses saying that you're a very handsome man.
And Renee, they think you're beautiful, too. That's where he gets his good looks from, Mom. So
hey,
anyway,
I'm single out there in California.
So, yeah, if you want a little note to Renee, that's cool, too, if you're a good-looking, single, good man. All right, guys, listen, take care, and we're going to have to sign off now on Angel Coaches. So if you want to, if you don't have all the information, just email us at or go to our site, angelcoaches.com, and Corrine and I will send you all the links to Renee and Jonathan. And thanks, you guys. Corrine and I love helping you, and it's been a real honor. Thank you for being on our show.
Thank you, guys.